The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
From Hollywood, California, by way of the Broken Skull Ranch, this is the Steve Austin Show.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, here's Steve Austin.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Steve Austin Show. I am coming to you from the Broken Skull Ranch in South Texas. I am using my Zoom H4N recorder, except this time it is not plugged into a couple of microphones. I'm standing on my front porch. Joining me is Ted Fowler. You can find him on Twitter, if you want to, at TedFowler361. You might not want to find him once you find him. Anyway, God dang, Teddy, we came down here. It's been about a three-and-a-half-day weekend, whatever you want to call it, to come down here, do some work, shoot the breeze, have a few beers is what we're doing now, and get a little bit of work done. But, man, on day one, I got my ass off in some deep-ass mud in my Kubota four-wheel drive tractor trying to mow. Now, I tweeted out on my Twitter account, Steve Austin BSR, the fact that I'd got stuck. And I got a lot of people saying, well, because I sent a picture of the melee, me walking there while you was going over to get some base material to put in them ruts. And they said, if you'd had a John Deere or a Massey Ferguson, you would not have gotten stuck. Hey, I don't give a rat's ass what I was driving. Kubota's a damn good tractor, and I'm not a spokesman for their company. But it don't matter what I was driving, would have been a John Deere, a Massey Ferguson, a Case, whatever. My ass got stuck because my ass is so stupid, I got off in that mud over there by a pond. Damn, Teddy, you was over trying to spray the weeds. We got a two-man workforce over here at the Broken Skull Ranch. We're on a low budget. We're trying to do things. We're trying to grow big deer and drink cold beer on a thin dime out here in South Texas. Ain't a whole lot of workforce out here. So you was doing your business. I called you up. I said, hey, Teddy, I'm stuck over at the Tombstone Lake. What was going through your head?
Is this the Unleashed?
Nope. This is family friendly.
I thought, boy, if you got the big tractor stuck and it's got the mower behind it, we've got a real problem because we don't have anything big enough to get it out. This is going to be
because I'm driving the Mac Daddy.
Yeah.
I'm driving a 9,500 horsepower tractor,
and you're absolutely right. It doesn't matter what brand of tractor you had been piloting, the outcome would have been the same.
And, you know, I'm pulling a 15-foot Batwing shredder. So that damn thing weighs an ass load. And so anyway, I got in there, Teddy. And I didn't have no business being in there. And I was thinking, okay, I can make it through. And I said, I backed up a little bit. I went forward. And then I started, I went too much. And you know, there's that, you only get about one or two tries when you go the backwards forwards. Yeah. And then I just started spinning. And then when you start burying, and then you start getting high-centered because you're burying, that ain't a good place to be. And that's when I said, uncle. It was like when we was watching the UFC 172, and that one dude started tapping out with his feet.
With his feet, yeah.
I should have tapped out a little bit sooner than I did. So the thing about it is, hang on to this recorder while I go check the barbecue. Check the sausage. I'm barbecue. I got deer sausage on the pit right now. So anyway, Teddy, when you rolled up, I said, bring some chains. And you went into the barn. Describe to the good listeners of the Steve Austin Show podcast our chain situation at the Broken Skull Ranch, because it is piss poor, and that would be a compliment at best.
Felt like that gold chain that Brian Pillman gave you, only the one we got's a little, it's not gold, it's rusty. Yeah, it's about the same length, about the same diameter, the same tensile strength. It's not what we needed to pull out a Kubota with a 15-foot Batwing shredder on the back.
Right now I'm standing over a barbecue grill. This Weber, I mean, I'm a big fan of Weber barbecue grills. But this thing, Teddy, we cooked some big-ass ribeyes last night while we was watching the fights. And the thing flames up so bad, you can't even cook on high. And right now, I got this deer sausage on. I got three links. Teddy, this is Broken Skull Ranch deer sausage. This is some of the most expensive deer sausage known to mankind. We've been out here trying to grow these deer for about 8 years since I bought the ranch. I think these things are ready. We're going to pull them off. No, I'll put them back on. But we've been feeding proteins since day one. Teddy, that's, I don't lower my glasses. We should make a video of this podcast. That's 15 minutes in. We're going to pull them off.
All right.
But, we've been feeding protein 24/7, 365 since I bought this place. And so when you add up all the ducats that goes into trying to grow these big deer so they get some horns on them, by the time you go to eating these things, if you looked at the dollar per pound, it's going to be astronomically a little tip-top on the high side.
With all that protein, we should be bigger.
Yeah, we got our rats on a PED program over here. We ain't got a deer on one. I just shut the grill down here. Look, I got a call in. It must be from the President of the United States of America. Teddy, hold these tongs, would you? Anyway, so here I am. That's how professional a podcast we got here. I got something, and this is a family-friendly show. I got some drunk mother sucker calling from South Florida with a bad reception. I couldn't even understand what he was saying anyway, Teddy. Teddy, where were we? So anyway.
Talking about feeding protein all year.
Feeding protein, the damn deer. We're cooking deer sausage out here. Came to get some work done out here, and then you pulled me out of the damn mud. But it was a four-hour process.
Correct.
Because that little John Deere tractor I have, now it's a four-wheel drive tractor as well, but it's a, 45 horsepower tractor? It's great for just being a little bitty-ass tractor. When I owned a piece of property in Bernie, Texas, 120 acres, it was fine for that. But, brother, out here, it's a whole different animal. It's like trying to pull out, let me put this in perspective. It would be like trying to pull out a monster truck out of a mud hole with a ladybug. Does that work for you?
That worked.
So anyway, that's the kind of situation we're in. And this, the chain situation is, there are links in that chain that are grouped together or held together by a bolt with a nut on one end, one side of it.
Correct.
And this is no lie. I mean, this thing is so jerry-rigged. I mean, I wouldn't try to pull out. Teddy, if you was out here driving your mountain bike, and I know you don't have one, but if you did, and it'd be a 10-speed, and you got stuck in some sand, and I come up in my big-ass Ford Bronco, I would not feel safe pulling your ass out on your 10-speed mountain bike with this chain. But nonetheless, here we are. And it turns out you went down the road. You got a couple of buckets of some base material off the oil field project they got out here. We filled in them damn holes with as much gravel as we could with our shovels. And then finally backed up and give that damn thing enough oomph and pulled it damn out and got a little bit more work done. But still, that being said, it's been such a wet year, and we're very thankful for the rain we've got. We're very thankful that it's green out here. But God dang, dude, after getting off in it and trying to mow a stretch, we got a lot of mowing to take care of.
Correct. And we haven't really mowed much the last couple of years because we wanted it to get back to its natural, you know, surroundings, the natural appearance of it. And now...
Well, I had it trimmed up kind of like a amusement park there for a while, which is cool. And but some of it was just a little too much work, and it was in a drought, so the grass wasn't growing. But with as much rain as we've gotten,
yeah. Once the rain starts, you know, starts hammering us, then we really got behind, unfortunately. But you know, it was fortunate that we had the rain, so you know, it's kind of a catch 22.
Teddy, just 2 days ago, as we speak now, this is my reporter voice. You had a birthday. You turned 48 years of age. Happy birthday, first and foremost, Teddy. Teddy, question, maybe a little personal. Has making the transition from being 48 years old rather than 47 been tough?
No, not yet.
See, that's the kind of tough questions that you ask when you're on a beat, on the street, trying to get the tough answers out of people. Teddy, when I opened the door when you turned 48, I thought you might be creeping across the pavilion in a walker. You looked like you'd just taken your shroom tech. We had a bust-ass workout. We trained back, we deadlifted, and we did bent over rows. What did we do after that?
Eight.
We ate. Boy, I tell you what, it's a good thing I took my Alpha Brain this morning. I think it's just now running out. You know, Teddy, let's tell the people what happened today. We tried to record this podcast this afternoon, and it wasn't working for us.
No.
I took two Alpha Brains. I drank two Diet Red Bulls and thought it was going to give me a little bit of kick in the ass, but I turned into such a sissy from living in Marina Del Rey out there in that cool-ass weather. I come out here, and brother, after a nine-hour work day, my ass is just dead dog tired. I wasn't worth a flying flip. Even with two Diet Red Bulls and two Alpha Brains from Onnit. Yeah, they wanted to sponsor our show. This isn't a commercial for them. normally, Teddy, when I take a couple alpha brains, I'm on the same playing field with Albert Einstein. I'm on the same playing field with some of the smartest mother truckers walking the face of this earth. But I couldn't come up with nothing. And so we started coming out here. We took our last lap. We made a round of margaritas, which is what we normally do before the day before we leave out of here. We took one last look for some shed horns, drank that margarita. I put the deer sausage on the pit because I'm hungry as hell. We're fixing to shut this thing down. This is the opening for what we're going to record tomorrow morning. Man, I didn't have any material. I couldn't come up with nothing. I didn't know where to crap or wind my watch.
It's hard to do it at the end of the day because you're absolutely right. The heat just takes it out of you. You know, you work all day out in that heat. The last thing you want to do is think. Doesn't matter how many alpha brain you've taken.
But, dude, here's the thing. You know, I've only been out here 3.5 days, but living in that Marina Del Rey done got me spoiled. And it ain't even hot yet. That's my point. It's not August. It's not 110. It only hit 93 degrees today. Is that my wife?
No.
Thought it was my wife. Got Cassie out here prowling around Ted's prize chocolate lab. So anyway, hey, speaking of dogs, you just sent one of your dogs, Tula, over there. What part of Texas?
Albany.
Albany, Texas. Where in the flying hell is Albany, Texas?
Just north of Abilene, but I'm not sure where that is.
Down there in Shawn Michaels territory. So you took his dog. It's a German short hair named Tula. Now, how long has Tula been over there, and how's she doing?
She's been there about 5 weeks. All the progress reports are good. She's doing well. She runs a little bit bigger than what the trainer would like, meaning she gets a little further away than you would like if you're hunting on foot, but he said she's, got a nose for it, so we'll see what happens.
Now, Teddy, normally when we bird hunt out here, at least when I'm out here and when I have the time to, we're dove hunting. But, man, we got a lot of dove right now. We got a lot of quail. Our quail population is really kicking ass. But we got some ducks out here that land in front of the house. I don't know about any geese. So is this dog, Tula, going to hunt all birds or basically doves?
No, she'll basically be a quail dog.
She'll be a quail dog.
Yeah, she'll be a quail dog.
Really?
She'll run and she'll point. That's what she'll want to do. She's not really that keen on stuff falling directly out of the sky. That's not her
forte. So she'll just find the bird, point at the bird.
Yep, we'll stand around, turn her loose, watch her run. As soon as she stops and goes on point, just run up to her and, that's where the birds are and get ready.
So, but then her work is done. Will then Cassie come in and play and retrieve the birds? We get the birds ourselves, or because she ain't going to pick them up.
No, she may pick them up.
Right.
She may not. I don't know. That's not.
Is that an intangible? Is that like a, hey, it's a bonus if she
does?
That's
a bonus if she does. Okay. If not, that's what the lab's for.
Okay, but that's what they were bred for, to find the
she
birds.
She is bred to locate the birds by smell.
Well, that's going to be interesting because, man, out of all, as many quail as now we're starting to get in here, out here in about our eighth year, man, I just never been a big quail guy because I never had a dog. Certainly, you can walk up on a covey, scare them up, and start shooting.
Well, you'd be hard-pressed to.
Well, out here in South Texas,
damn sure.
Because it's not traditionally just flat-out quail country. But it's going to be fun hunting over there. So during dove season, because you're hot and heavy on the doves, and that's where Cassie thrives, and y'all like to sit over there at the shark tank, or you got your new patch over there in the middle of the property where those doves have a corridor they fly through, and Cassie is a bird-fetching son of a gun. So what would Tula do during this time? Because you don't need her to find the birds. Would she sit it out? Would she go along?
You know what? No. I'll probably leave her at the house so there's not a conflict because, that's kind of Cassie's playing field.
Right.
And, it will be hard for Tula, to keep up with Cassie in that.
But would it confuse her by the same token?
What it will do is it may create a fight, because Cassie, that's what she wants to do. That's what she knows to do. And it may make a bad habit for Tula.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I want
Tula running around smelling the birds, not so much retrieving.
Okay, so now, and Cassie's only 3 years old. I remember when you first got her, she's a pup, and you pretty much trained her yourself.
Correct.
Now, when we're hunting out here, whether you're set up over at the shark tank, or a little pond we call a shark tank, or this new patch you got over there, she hangs with you. And you shoot, and she goes and gets the birds, and you're a good shot, so she gets a lot of birds. With quail season coming into play, Tula doing her thing, will cash remain at your side? Because what will we be doing? Will we be walking on foot? Will we be just driving in like a Bronco?
We'll be driving in the buggy.
In a buggy? In a Polaris Ranger, so to speak?
Yep. Tula will be out there running.
Okay. Cass in a buggy with us.
She'll be with us.
Okay.
And then once Tula goes on point, we'll get out.
Right.
Birds will flush. We'll shoot. Now, Tula may or may not, you know, chase after him, you know, the bird that goes down. I'm not too worried about that. That's when Piddles
comes
into play.
That's when Cassie comes in. And Piddles, this is ridiculous because the Broken Skull Ranch, the toughest ranch in Texas, all of our dogs have nicknames. Cassie's nickname is Piddles. We're going to be here for the working man. I never knew. Does Tula have a nickname?
I just call her Tula May.
Tula May. She got a middle name. She ain't got a nickname. She got a middle name. That's how we do it at the Broken Skull Ranch.
The Steve Austin Show. The Steve Austin Show.
Scott's Turf Builder makes lawn care easy. It gives your lawn the feeding it needs to thrive. Just put it down now and again next season to thicken your lawn, crowd out weeds, and keep it growing strong. Right now is the perfect time to feed and seed to build the perfect lawn for every season. When taking care of your lawn is this easy, enjoying your lawn is even easier. Pick up a bag of Scott's Turf Builder today. It's guaranteed or your money back. Feed your lawn. Feed it.
It was a long night yesterday, man. Before you know it, we blinked our eyes, and it was like 10:30, 11 p.m. We was in there telling deer hunting stories from when you was hunting over there in Georgia. We should have been rolling the damn recorder while you was telling all them stories of chasing ducks all over Nebraska, all over South Georgia, damn near in Florida, and you was coming out of Phoenix. Dude, I can't believe you went all over the country chasing them damn birds.
Well, you know what? There's not much to hunt in Arizona. I mean, there is, but there isn't. You know, and single, no wife, no kids. Not like I'm, you know, spending money on college tuition. I might as well do something else.
There have been a couple of times in my life where a lot of people go out to Phoenix, Arizona, and Arizona in general. It's a great state to find themselves. It sometimes kind of reminds me of New Mexico. But I thought about moving out there a couple of times. My good buddy Kevin Nash lived out there for a couple of years. But to your point, it just ain't nothing to hunt out there, and that's been the biggest thing that's kind of detracted me from moving to that area. And of course, it's not an option for me anymore. I ain't got no business over there. But Jiminy H. Cricket on a popsicle stick, was there anything that you could hunt in the state of Arizona?
Birds, really. All big game animals in Arizona, you have to be drawn for. They do a lottery drawing, and your odds of getting drawn are slim, and then there's not a ton of animals there to hunt anyway.
What is there to hunt?
Well, you got deer, you've got elk, there's
antelope.
But
is it blacktail coos or is it whitetail?
No, you've got coos deer down south, right. You've got mule deer up north, there's elk, javelina, turkey, bighorn sheep. You can go way up by the Grand Canyon and, you know, hunt a buffalo if that's, you know, what you want to do. It'd be easier to go to the store and just buy some ground beef. You know, but the older I got, the more I liked to hunt, I realized, you know, I was traveling more, getting out of Arizona to do the stuff that I enjoyed, you know, so why stay?
Dude, you were driving. Did you fly down to Florida? You flew into what, Tallahassee?
Yeah, flew into Tallahassee.
But then on that other trip, when you went down to Thomasville, you drove that.
No.
Flew that too?
We flew that, yeah. No, we were driving to Nebraska and driving to Washington to go bird hunting.
With a U-Haul. And your buddy had a Chevy Tahoe, so he had to back off slicker down with plastic so you could have your two bird dogs down there.
Correct.
How'd they go with that traveling? Did they enjoy
it? Oh, they were cool. They traveled real well.
You guys shacked up in a couple of hotels, no?
Correct.
What was the women's situation like? Were you guys out there just to hunt?
Or yeah, we were
chasing women on the side, too.
No. Those guys, they couldn't, you know, they'd run off more girls than three guys could corral. No. That was solely for bird hunting.
All right, Teddy, I was online the other day. We'll fix start talking about these rats and what we're going to do about these rats. But you carpenter by trade, right?
Correct.
Well, I found this carpenter's quiz on the internet, and we went through this yesterday, and you picked out a bunch of answers, and there was 22 of them, and I can't log back in to find out what the answers are going to be, so we must assume that you answered them all correctly. Let's go back through it again. True or false, it's better to use a longer extension cord than a longer hose when using an air compressor. True or false?
False.
Now, why is that?
voltage drop. The longer your extension cord, the more distance the electricity has to travel. It actually moves, believe it or not. And if you don't have a big enough extension cord,
it'll heat up.
It'll heat up.
All right, how many nails do you use on a 2x6 for one end? 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6?
We use 4. You say 4 forever.
4 forever. How many nails go into a standard 3-tab shingle? 2, 8, 4, 6, or 3?
4 in residential construction, unless it's windstorm, then you need 5.
Teddy, can you use screws for framing a house? Your answers are yes, but it costs more. No, it will end up ripping the wood.
Yes, but it costs more.
Hey, would that be a stouter house, though?
No, not necessarily.
Right. So what's the most common wood used in framing? Pine, ash, oak, spruce, or cedar?
Pine.
Why is that? Bunch of it?
Inexpensive.
Inexpensive. Now, what would be the best?
Pine.
Out of the ones I named.
Pine. The rest of that stuff's all special. You know, it's kind of specialty wood, if that makes sense, and it's more regional.
Gotcha. Hey, can you use hardwood in framing? Yes or no?
You can, but it's, you know, hardwood runs through blades quicker.
Yep.
You know, it's less receptive to nails, especially with air, you know, air drive. It'd take too long to build.
So, not recommended.
No, not recommended.
But, but probably technically you could if you wanted to.
But if you got the money, yeah. If you got the money, yeah.
Okay. Which tool is better when framing walls, a hammer or a framing air nailer?
An air nailer.
What are the exact measurements of a 2x6x8? 2x6x8, 1.5x3.5x8, 1.5x3.5x8.5, or 2.5x4.5x8?
You didn't give me the right option.
That's what you were talking about yesterday. What are you saying?
A 2x6x8 is 1.5 inch thick.
Yep.
By 5.5 inches wide.
Yep.
By 96 inches long.
Right.
Okay. So a 2x4 is 3.5 inches wide. A 2x6 is 5.5 inches wide. A 2x8 is 7.5 inches wide. You know, so I think that's a trick question, but I would go with A. The exact measurements of a 2x6x8 is 2x6x8.
You ain't going to be hot about it. Jesus Christ, it's 7:38 in the morning. We should not get started. I'm on my second cup. Yeah, I only took one out for brain. I'm waiting on this sub up to kick in.
We've been 4 days without an argument. Let's not start now.
We go argue about a 2x6x8 on a Steve Austin show. What is standard stud spacing? 24 inch, 12 inch, 16, 15, or 16 inches?
16 inches.
Or 16 feet. So 16 inch.
Correct.
Now, what are we talking about? You talked about 12 and 16 inch centers the other day.
Whatever you want to do, make sure it's divisible by 4. Is that, or make sure it goes into 4 feet because your standard sheeting is a 4x8 sheet. Yeah. Gotcha. So if you do it in an odd increment, it won't lay out properly.
Check out the big brain on Ted this morning. Hey, did you take an Alpha Brain?
Not yet.
Not yet. I'm going to fire up a damn Alpha Brain for you. True or false, wood glue makes a joint stronger than the wood itself?
True.
When cutting a rafter, you need to cut out a piece called a bird's mouth. True or false?
True.
Now, discuss this bird's mouth to me. Teddy, when I think of a bird's mouth, I think of finding a little nest with a little baby bird in there with his mouth open waiting for his mama to feed him. Talk to me about a bird's mouth. What in the hell is it?
Bird's mouth is a little triangular piece cut out of the end of the rafter that sits on top of the top plate of the house. The top plate of the house would be the top of your wall before your roof starts to go up, or, you know, in most cases it's a flat wall, but it's where the ceiling rafter meets the top plate.
Now, what if I were to build a house, Teddy, and God forbid that ever happened, because it probably wouldn't last very long, but what if I did build a house and I forgot to put in this illustrious bird mouth?
Now, your roof pitch wouldn't be right. You'd have a hard time putting the soffit underneath it.
Well, I was thinking about building a soffitless house.
You better go with a teepee.
I better stick to driving an RV. Hey, true or false, Teddy, when framing, you can put your walls directly on the concrete of the foundation.
That's not the preferred method of doing it, no.
False. So what's the name of the steel that goes into concrete?
Rebar.
Okay. When building an overhang, the floor joists must be at least blank times the length being overhung. 2 times, 4 times, 6 times, 8 times, 10 times.
Usually 2 times.
When framing the outer walls, the crown should face in or out?
Out.
What is the minimum spacing for 2x8 floor joists? 12 inch, 14 inch, 16 inch, 24 inch, 32 inch?
Boy, that's a good question. I mean, I would go 16, but they're probably saying 12.
Now, why?
Probably some engineer sat down and designed that test, and they don't really know much about what goes on in the field. If you're using a 2x8 floor joist, and you got them spaced 16 inches apart with 3/4 inch decking material, you know, you can support a lot of weight. A lot of big girls can walk across that thing, no problem.
So you're saying 16 rather than 12?
I would go 16, yes, sir.
Okay. What color drywall screws, Teddy?
Black.
Why?
They've got some type of coating on them. I don't know what it is. I think so it doesn't react with the gypsum in the wallboard.
What is the purpose of a header? Now, is it something to nail to, support studs, support the weight above, holds weight the door window in place, or to avoid hitting your head?
No, it supports the weight above. You always put a header above door, window, opening, something like that, so the roof line, the weight of, you know, the decking, the shingles, all that stuff doesn't cause that portion of the unsupported opening to sag.
So this is not a header that you would bolt on your 350 in your truck
to
make it have more horsepower.
No, sir.
Okay. Now, a table saw, Teddy, is for ripping only or cross-cutting only or both?
Both, if you're careful.
Now, there was a, and the reason he says you're careful, because Teddy damn near sawed off, what was your thumb or your pointing finger?
No, index finger and ring finger, right hand.
The old ring finger on his right hand, he damn near cut off. Now, he damn near cut off his ring finger on his left hand because of a divorce back in the day. Nonetheless, so Teddy, when you're sitting there, not about the left finger, let's talk about the right one, you almost sawed off. Now, as you're sawing your finger off, at what point did you decide this is not a good idea, I should stop before I completely remove my finger?
When I saw the blood on the deck of the table saw.
Now, Teddy, anything can happen on a table saw, ripping saw, whatever kind of saw it is. Now, I'd always pictured, I said, you know, if Teddy's out there using a manual saw, and he's sawing through his finger, and he's got about 6 strokes in this thing, he's probably not the smartest cat I could hang out with. So I just want to clarify that it was a table saw and not a saw that you had in your hand popping back and forth.
No, correct. It was a table saw.
Okay. Now, I can see you doing that on the left hand finger with the wedding ring back a few days ago in your wilder days. Teddy, how much more does sanding across the grain take off than sanding with the grain? 2 times, 6 times, 10 times, 12 times, or 100 times? Now, because we talked about this, a little bit of a trick answer.
Probably 2 times. You know, I'll revise my answer from yesterday, 2 times. But you don't want to sand across the grain because, especially if you're staining a piece of wood, you'll scar it up, you'll mark it up, you'll have a bunch of scratches in it from the sand paper.
And man, I was just thinking about that. It actually, rather than picking a time, I mean, it's all about how much pressure you're applying while you're sanding.
Yeah, I mean, if you're hand sanding, that's one thing. If you've got an orbital sander, you know, like I'll hit the face frame of my cabinets with, and you go across the grain, you can take off a ton of wood.
Yeah. Okay, here's the last question. It's a tough one, Teddy. Do you want to take your alpha brain now or later?
I'll wait.
What does MR drywall stand for? Most ruined, moisture resistant, made rough, Mr. Rogers.
Moisture resistant.
Let's talk about Mr. Rogers for a while. Okay, that's enough. We're done talking about Mr. Rogers. Hey, swig of coffee for the working man. Teddy, I've got to get up out of here today. I'm heading back to Los Angeles, California to get my sorry ass back to work, working on a couple of projects. You're heading back to Rockport. We got a lot of work done out here at the ranch, barring the fact that I got stuck in the tractor and it took 4 hours to pull my stupid ass out. We got a lot of mowing and everything else to do. We got our protein feeders full?
Yes, sir.
What else we got to do out here? We got a couple faulty water troughs you've been working on.
Those are resolved.
No, what was happening? The idiot to put the water troughs out here before we got here just used a bunch of crappy parts?
Yes. Yeah, there's no other explanation. They did subpar installation with subpar material.
Yeah, we've found that out with a lot of the PVC line. We got 7 miles of PVC pipe underground, and there was another spot that you found where they didn't use any glue to put a joint together.
Correct.
And then on our latest excursion over on the south end of the ranch, right there at the feeder station, someone forgot to put in a valve.
A cutoff valve.
I mean, I don't think they forgot. I think it's too damn lazy to put in a valve.
Well, it's all the way, you know, the farthest point from the water source.
Right.
You know, may have run out and absolutely right, been too lazy to go back to the barn and get one, or they just didn't have it and said, keep on going. They'll never know until they need it.
So you go ahead back to Rockport, you and Cassie, load up, and then you're going to go back to work. What job are you working on right now?
Window replacement in a house. Changed out 13 windows in a house, and the exterior is done. The windows are in, the exterior is done. All I've got to do is trim out the inside, and I can move on to the next one.
Speaking of trimming out the inside, what's the women's situation looking like out there, Teddy? Ooh. You in Rockport, you've been single, and people say, well, where did you come up with women out of trimming out a window? If you take the word trim, you come up with the thoughts of women. Teddy, you're a single man, just turned 48 years old. Are you worried now that you're almost in the old age category that you're going to have a hard time finding a gal?
No. No, but I need to start moving around a little bit. I need to get out of Rockport.
What, you thinking about leaving Rockport?
No, just... you know, solely for recreational purposes. No, I'll live in Rockport.
There's been some great dating services online, Teddy. The other day I saw an ad on television, which is called farmersonly.com or something like that. So people, I guess, that they farm.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then, of course, you and I have talked about Christian Mingle several times. And there's J-Date. There's all kinds of dating services online. Now, you're currently on Facebook. You find any women on Facebook, or you just use that for business type stuff?
No, I do that. I don't find any chicks on Facebook. At least, you know, none that are my friends. You know, and I use that for the softball
right.
team, you know. And then that's another thing I don't get. Why my own buddies that I play softball with are sending me friend requests? You
right.
know, we're already friends. We play softball together. I want to be friends with chicks.
Right.
Not with guys. They don't get it.
Yeah, but see, man, I think I have a Facebook thing that my buddy set up for me. I don't understand how it works. So the other day I was in a sushi joint in Los Angeles, California. There's a gal on the sushi bar, and she had a laptop out. She had a Facebook pulled up. There's so many people out there that they broadcast every damn thing they do on Facebook.
No,
in the flying hell is up with that? I mean, if someone's just going to go get some groceries, they put on there, going to go get groceries, hanging out with my baby, doing this, blah, blah, blah. Are you one of those cats that... You know, hell, you're fixing it. Did you put on your Facebook account, hey, I just installed 13 windows?
No. No, I'm the opposite. I get, you know, get to drinking and get fired up, mad at the world, and then I sit down and start typing, and I, you know, fire off a couple.
Dude.
I go through my short list of friends and delete a few, and, you know.
Dude, drinking in Facebook cannot be a good thing, because I know drinking in eBay from two Ford Broncos and an 87 El Camino, I know not to drink in eBay. Now, what's this whole drinking and Facebook thing going on? Because I saw a half-gallon bottle of Jack Daniels you got in your freezer yesterday when we made that round of margaritas. I came over to get you ice cubes, so you ain't out here Facebooking and drinking, are you? That seems to me like it can mount to a hell of a lot of damn trouble.
No, that Jack Daniels just enhances my dream state when I go to sleep. Yeah. Now, did you know me? I'm always, you know, mad at something, or, you know, one thing or another, and then I'll get home and start thinking about, you know, just stuff that happens or stuff that people have posted on Facebook, you know, and like an idiot, man, I'll start, you know, getting slopped up and be like, well, they weren't really my friend anyway. I may as well comment on it.
Talking about getting slopped up, getting on Facebook, and doing dastardly things. Hey, I'm hanging out at Broken Skull Ranch. It's about 7:49 in the morning. I'm going to take a little pause for the calls and take care of a couple of sponsors. I'm coming back with Ted Fowler. You guys have been hearing me talk about our problems out here with rats at the Broken Skull Ranch. Y'all been sending me a lot of damn suggestions. We're going to run over some of the solutions that we're going to take to address this problem. But first, got to take a little quick break here.
The Steve Austin Show. The Steve Austin Show. The Steve Austin Show. The Steve Austin Show.
Coming right back in with Ted Fowler. Let's talk about this, Teddy. We got a problem with rats out here. So what if we got, let me see, as this read goes, we get a shotgun as a secondary weapon. We got plenty of shotguns out here, but this thing said you could get some lasers. Did you hear what I just read?
I heard it.
We could attack these rats with lasers and shotguns. See, the problem with the shotguns is, you know, in that barn, I don't want to blow all the goddamn holes into the walls of the barn.
Right.
But we got some big ass damn rats out there, so maybe we ought to leave the guns and the lasers out of this. But now, let's address the problem with the rats. They've been kicking our ass. I've been talking about these damn rats. I think somebody's ranch. I want to instill a performance-enhancing drug policy out here at the Broken Skull Ranch, because I think these rats are competing at a I think, Teddy, my point is we're working at a disadvantage here with these rats because they're chewing through everything we got. We can't seem to stop them. Although I did read, Teddy, and all the information and all the people sent me here on the show, that rats don't like to chew or cannot chew through aluminum foil or steel wool. And over in my white truck, sometimes I stuff steel wool up my tailpipe so they don't get up in there and nest. So what if we cover the entire ranch, my house, this house, the pavilion, and all the Broncos with aluminum foil?
I'd probably take care of the woodpecker, too.
I do not know. Let me get online real quick and see if a woodpecker can peck through aluminum foil.
Aluminum foil.
Kristen actually went to Walmart yesterday in town to go get some groceries, and she's looking for some of them Mylar spinning wheels, you know, little pinwheel things.
Right.
You wear it to use at kids' parties.
Right.
When you're having a big time because all your friends are over and they all got kids, and you're still fiddled farting around on Facebook drinking Jack Daniels. So next time you have one of them little get-together parties over at your house and all your friends and kids bring all that stuff, bring those party supplies down to the damn ranch so we can nail those over to the side of my damn house. The last 3.5 days we've been here, there's 2 woodpeckers over there. And think one of them's got a hole drilled all the way through the house, and he's starting to pull insulation out. And these woodpeckers, a little bit, they're taking a different approach than the last ones because they got a little bit of a soft noise to them. They're not pecking so damn hard. And these, I can just slap the damn wall with the back of my hand or with my ring. Mm-hmm. Kind of half-ass scare them off. Them other ones, I mean, it's not like, it's like a construction crew out there. They didn't give a damn. And I could beat on the wall, and they would just keep on pecking. And there's one thing I can't stand is a woodpecker beating the trash out of my house and making holes in it. But these are kind of with they got like a muffler on them. I know they're still out there killing my house, but they haven't just prompted me. That other one, it would get my ass up. It was so annoying, and I just couldn't stand the thought of my property being torn up. So each morning, I'd grab that Mossberg shotgun, my old turkey gun that I used out there in South Georgia with Paul Orndorff, and I'd put 3 shells in, creep around the house, fire 3 shots in this general direction. I ain't gonna lie to you. I was trying to kill that sorry son of a buck, but never, ever once hit him. These, they're pissing me off. I don't like them, but it's not so damn loud that I'm just fired up to go out there and try to shoot a bullet in his general direction.
Yeah, but they're still tearing up the house.
I know. That's why I was going to call you.
I'll shoot him.
Say, hey, Teddy, it's 6:30 in the morning. Could you drink a couple cups of coffee, fire down an Alpha Brain, and bring Cassie and bring your shotgun and just camp out over here and see if you can shoot this damn woodpecker? They're killing me. Before we leave today, out of all the things that we didn't do and we're trying to do, we'll fix it, start talking about our problem with rats. We do have the problem with the woodpeckers. You think you can nail up a couple of pieces of a board over there to cover them holes up? Because I would like to impede the progress that they already made and just cover up the damage so they got to re-drill that damn hole. I want to mess with their heads.
Yeah, I was talking to Kristen about that. I'm going to get a 4x8 sheet of Hardy board down there in Rockport and cut it up into squares. Hardy board is a cement product, cement fiber board. Hopefully that'll slow them down. If nothing else, it'll just, you know, move them over.
So, Teddy, let's talk about the Hardy board for a second because, you know, of all things that I am, I'm not a carpenter, I'm not a handyman. True or false, Teddy? Hardy board is a building material named after the Hardy boys, Jeff and Matt Hardy from North Carolina. True or false?
False.
Did you want to think about it for a little bit? You do know who the Hardy boys are, right?
Yes.
So it wasn't named after them?
No.
Okay, so then how in the hell did they come up with the name Hardy Board for a building material, which is used on pretty much about everything being built these days out there in Rockport, right?
Yeah, maybe their father, because it's a James Hardy product.
James
Hardy. Actually, a cat, yeah, James Hardy. Now, who he is, I have no idea. No, they just, you know, came up with something that was impervious to moisture.
I like it. I want something that's impervious to a woodpecker's bill.
We're working on it.
I mean, what if we welded up steel plates all over the house? I mean, that might be what it takes.
Can you imagine the sound of them trying to get through that?
Well, I didn't see it, and then PETA would come out after me. They'd say, well, this is cruelty to animals. If you're going to put your steel casing around your double wires, then you must have a container full of Advils or ibuprofen for these woodpeckers to get some relief after trying to peck on your house. That's what PETA would try to do for me.
We'll take care of the woodpeckers once you guys head back to L.A.
Lead poisoning is what he's saying. He's trying to beat around the bush. I'll go ahead and spell it out for your ass. You're going to pump them full of lead with a shotgun.
I can't do it when Kristen's here. Love her to death, but she won't let us shoot stuff.
I'll tell you what. There was two big-ass hogs that ambled in front of the house the other day when we were sitting out there drinking a beer. Two big-ass hogs. And you spotted them.
Yep.
And there they were. And so I was just about to go into my trusty Fort Knox safe, the best safe in America, where I keep my firearms, my binoculars, and all my hunting supplies and a couple of bullets, and fire a couple of rounds in their general direction. And then my wife comes out. And I said, "Hey, Kristen, look at the hogs over there." I said, "I'm fixing to shoot them things." She said, "Oh, no, you're not." And I said, "Well, why not?" You go, "Steve, they're just out there messing around and have some babies with them." And I said, "I know, but see, those same big-ass hogs out there, when I'm out there trying to ride my Polaris and you fall off of one of them holes they rooted up, that's when it gives you the motivation to shoot them. It's all fine and dandy when you're just walking out across there, but they're tearing all my stuff up, Teddy. Your stance on the subject matter."
You shoot those little ones, wrap them up in a piece of bread, you got your ham sandwich.
Yeah, so you got something good to eat. What about the big ones?
Shoot them all. I mean, they tear up so much stuff. They're not cute to look at. They don't.
Well, I mean,
anything.
The little ones are cute to look at. I mean, you've just turned 48. You damn near reaching a midlife crisis. You hate everything right now. I'm 49. Jiminy H. Cricket. I'm okay with looking at a baby pig. I'm on the toughest man walking and facing this earth. And a little pig is cute, Teddy. Do you not think they're cute?
No, I agree with you.
Okay, so they are cute.
The only problem is they grow into a big pig.
There you go. You hit the nail right on the head. He ain't even took an alpha brain yet. Man, them big son of a bucks tear up so much stuff, yeah. To your point, and they go in there and root around, and you can be out there mowing that grass on that big-ass Kubota tractor, and that's a big-ass tractor. When you fall off of one of the holes that they made, it'll scare the hell out of you, and you think, okay, I'm going to shoot every damn hog I see, and every time I see a hog, my wife happens to be close by, so hell, I can't shoot nothing out here. I might as well sell the place. Can't do nothing out here but just work and get my tractor stuck in the mud. What good is this place doing? Oh, it's like because ranching is fun. Rest and relaxation.
That's
this is the most bust-ass work for rest and relaxation I've ever seen in my damn life. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to crap away my watch. I need to blindfold Kristen. Next time we see a pig, blindfold her or put some earplugs in her damn ears or something, because I can't get away with nothing.
No, I know. We tried that one Christmas morning.
Yeah.
Off your front deck. Yeah, that wasn't too well received either.
Yeah, well, what happened on that one? I forgot.
Remember that family hogs came out? We were spooling up to go to your parents' house for Christmas. And it was early, early morning, and a family of hogs came out across the field, and you called over to me. You said, "Teddy, get your gun. Meet me on the front deck."
We succeeded on a couple of those.
Yeah, we closed out a few.
Yeah.
Boy, she was upset.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes, like Iceman King Parsons used to say, it bees that way sometimes. Teddy, let's address this rat problem we've been having there in the barn. They've been tearing everything up. I've been looking at different solutions, and people have been sending all kinds of emails in. And I get a lot of things talking about poisoning these rats, but I don't like to use poison just because, man, I just hate to. I wouldn't want nobody to poison me, so I don't want to poison no damn rat. I got a little bit of, well, I ain't got no sympathy for them, but if one of our dogs was to eat one of these rats, well, then we could have some problems. And Hershey, when she's out here, she'll eat anything.
Yeah.
So if she did that, then I'd have a big problem. So poison is not in the cards for us out here. Maybe in that far barn we could actually use it. You know, we've tried, didn't you dig a trench around that one barn and bury some wire mesh around a couple of those holes, and they chewed through that wire mesh?
Chewed through the wire mesh, yeah.
Well, what about the fact that if you redid the mesh and then we put down aluminum foil and steel wool, two things that they are said not to like or chew through, straight up?
Man, I don't... I'm not buying into the aluminum foil deal. The steel wool thing, yeah, that's great, you know, but what are you going to do? You know, so... 75 SOS pads together?
We're going to wash your mouth out with an SOS pad. See, here's the problem that these rats have, Teddy. If they didn't have anything to chew on, their teeth will grow 4.5 to 5.5 inches every year.
I remember you saying that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was thinking if one of these, you know, like we don't use mineral blocks out here for our deer. We feed protein and we feed corn out of our, you know, protein feeders and our corn feeders. So, you know, I don't know why one of these supplement companies don't make a little mineral block for these rats with some kind of attractant into it, but also with an abrasive material that would make them want to chew on it. You know, I mean, the thing like this, I'm looking at a candle holder for straight up. If the damn thing was about, I don't know, a pound in weight and was about 4 to 6 inches tall and, you know, was built for rats to chew on and it tasted good to them, do you think they'd wear that damn thing out? Or do you think they think, piss on that, there's that Bronco, I'm going to go chew on Steve's wires?
I don't think most supplement or, you know, yeah, supplement companies, supplements for animals, think about, you know, promoting the well-being of a rat. You know, I think everybody, when you think of a rat, you think about ways to kill it.
Specifically within the confines of the brain trust of a company, and they probably ain't taking Alpha Brain. I know for a fact that they're not thinking about, hey, let's make mineral blocks for rats to keep them off of Steve's wires. But that's just me thinking out loud of some kind of stupid idea to come up with. So what if we got a couple of flower pots and cast it in some type of recipe and bake these things and started putting them in the barn? Could that work? Would it work? Should we try?
Well, we can try. I don't think it'll work.
Okay, what would these materials be that we would put in there? That's the million-dollar question. See, because one person sent in, they said, hey, Steve, go get you a container. And they said, put in, I think it was, they love... Teddy's laughing. I had to push a stop button so I can remember what one of you guys sent me. I've been getting so many emails, and one person said, mix some cornmeal and some cement together and put it out there and then put a container of water next to it. Now, theoretically, I guess the corns love the smell and taste of the cornmeal, and so they'll eat it. Well, it is mixed with the cement. And so then when they go quench their thirst, there's the setting, water and cement mixing and then hardening inside the rat and therefore killing it. And so that sounds a little cruel to me, Teddy. I like to... I'm not down with the rats chewing up my wires on my Bronco, but that seems like a rough way to go. Am I wrong?
You could get your neon guy to make a little neon arrow pointing, you know, from the cement and meal over to the water. You know, kind of like a little roadrunner while he...
Hello, here you go. They're right this way.
Eat all you want and have a drink afterwards.
You know, Teddy, one of the things I was thinking about doing was building a jungle gym for these rats. Give them some entertainment. We put... No, hear me out.
I'm all ears.
We build like a set of pull-up bars for them, like a station for them to put their feet under so they can do some crunches. You've seen those gerbils when they get on that wheel and people keep them in an aquarium, right? And then they run around for a little bit.
Right.
We could weld up a bigger one of those because, I mean, the rats we got would probably exceed the weight limit on that gerbil wheel. So we'd have to go biggie on that. Maybe use a tractor tire. But we got it. Well, what if we put some little bitty hammers out there? Because I got that old tractor tire out there. Put a couple of sledgehammers out there for them to beat on that tractor tire to burn off some of their frustration. But it still needs something for them to chew on, Teddy. Does anything come to mind?
No, not right off the top of my head.
So that means we got to keep killing them. The jungle gym's not going to work for us.
No.
Now, have you been setting any traps out there?
Yeah, glue traps. The problem with those glue traps and the size of the rat will either get his front half or his back half stuck in that glue trap, and he can still move. So I'll set the traps out at night, go out in the morning, the trap's gone. Now I got to hunt up that rat because it's dragged half of that, you know, glue trap on his tail end. His front half is still moving. He's
yeah, cruising Teddy, around like Teddy, a sled. Well, you the carpenter. Why haven't you nailed the glue traps down to a 2x4?
Oh, God. Don't think I didn't think about that, too.
So what happened?
Screw them down. Just lazy.
Great answer. Yeah. I appreciate you coming out here working at the Broken Skull. No, but that'd be a good idea.
No, you're absolutely right.
Because that's the problem with the glue trap. Yeah, it's going to hook up. Because, man, I've stepped in plenty of them. Or you get your finger in one. I mean, they work pretty damn good. But at the end of the day, if it ain't bolted down, you just got a rat crawling around with a glue trap on, and he's eventually going to get off of some son of a gun.
You know, we got mice and rats. You get a little mouse and a glue trap, it's a piece of cake.
Then you're good.
Pick the glue trap up, you throw it out, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You've got a, you know, 16 by 16 inch square of plywood with four rat traps screwed down to it. You got a single rat. You know what I mean? You got to cut the plywood. You got to screw the rat traps down. You finally catch one, then you throw the whole thing out and you start over again.
Now, it's a pain in the ass.
Yes.
Someone suggested to me, hey, Steve, you should get some cats out here.
We got one. I don't know where it came from.
My cat is the laziest damn thing I've ever seen in my life, and I've only seen it like two or three times. You talking about that white calico looking one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that cat a few times. I don't know if that damn thing is old. It ain't got no teeth, but I don't think it's killing no mice or rat. And it just ambled out here because I didn't have nothing to do with it. My problem with cats is we got so many dogs coming out here. We just need to put a water trough out for the cats. The cat's going to be fine just living up in the barn, because when we shut down that barn, it's pretty tight. How are you going to get in there? Are you going to leave a door cracked? Because if you leave a door cracked for the cats...
No, you just, you know, if you left the door cracked, then you'd have...
That's what I'm saying.
Remember last year, had all the doors up and there was that snake out there sunning himself. No, I don't like cats anyway.
Well, I'm not a cat person either, but people keep sending in these suggestions, questions to steveaustinshow.com. And like I said, came to the poison thing. The cat thing is you got to keep the barn shut down tight. And I don't need a cat just running around out in the field killing those field rats and stuff like that. I need the ones working on the barn.
You lock a cat in the barn to kill all the rats. Where's he going to go to the toilet? What are you going to do? Set him up a little Skittle can out there? So now you don't have rats, but you know you got cat pee and poop all over.
Teddy, surely you can find time in your busy schedule to come change a litter box every week. No, see, I mean, that's my problem with cats, and because you got to shut the barn up tight. And don't get me wrong, the rats are always going to get in there, because according to all the documents that I read from all the articles that everybody sent in, if you got a size, a hole the size of a quarter, a damn rat can get in. And so they're going to keep getting in. No matter what we do, it's a nice barn, but it just doesn't have those kind of tolerances. We're going to get our damn rats inside, but the cat can't get inside to kill that rat. So I don't need the cat roaming the countryside killing the ones out in the field. I need them concentrating on the barn, so that's not an option that works for us.
No. No, I think, you know, our best approach is the glue traps and a stick.
You know, glue traps and a stick, but also, I mean, just some old school traps with the wire thing that slaps down on them. We've got several that way, but man, I mean, how come we don't use more of those? Because it seems like every time we do it, we've had some rats that are so big out here, they get slapped by one of those and they drag those off. I don't know if they got a neck harness out there and they're working their necks, or they got if they're over here at the gym over here on my power rack and they've been shrugging. But we've had a couple of rats get slapped by them things and just shuck them off.
We got a half a dozen of them over at the barn, the other barn over there. We could set them if you want to try that.
I mean, we almost need some bear traps like they use up in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, some wolf traps or something. I mean, because as badass as those rat traps are, they're a little bit on the light side for the kind of rats we got. Am I wrong? It's been knocking the dog crap out of some of them. You caught that one over there that was tearing up your house. But they seem to be a little bit light as well.
Correct.
The thing about those rat traps also, too, Teddy, man, by the time, you know, you get one rat on there, I just want to throw the whole damn thing away.
No, I know. And
then you got to go rebuy them. It's kind of nasty.
Yeah, they're, you know, $3 a whack, $3 a rat.
Yeah, but I just don't like messing with them.
That's why the glue traps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You pick it up, you throw the whole thing out, and you're done with it. The problem is we need a glue trap about the size of a paper plate.
Yeah. What if we patent that idea and we make glue traps the size of a paper plate? Nailed to a piece of plywood already with an anchor. You can buy the anvil, the paper plate, and the rat trap, and the glue trap. It will be like a combination effort. Rat trap on top of the glue, on top of the plate, glued or nailed to a 2x4. How many nails will you use, Teddy? You're the carpenter.
Four.
And then we'll chain that to a weight, and that weight should be no less than 20 pounds. If you get a rat that gets caught in that trap and then can drag off 20 pounds to safety, he deserves to live.
if we use one of the chains from the barn, it'll just break the chain.
Man, I sent Kristen, well, I didn't send her. She went into town the other day to go get some groceries and address our chain situation. So she went over to Tractor Supply, and I knew this was going to happen. I said, get me 30 foot of chain with two big ass hooks on the end of it. And of course, you know, I don't know the sizes of chains, right. Just in the top of my head, it's going to be a visual where I'm going to say, yes, that's the heavy duty chain that I want. That we're trying to pull out one gigantic tractor with another vehicle. And so the guy had some 20 footer over there, and he was talking about it'll pull 600 pounds. I'm like, 600 pounds? What are you pulling out? A lawnmower?
Yeah.
I'm talking about something with some strength and some that we can put some duress on. When you was pulling me out yesterday with that damn John Deere on that Kubota, and our chain, the piece of garbage that it is, was held together by a bolt with a nut on the end of it, and it actually survived. I mean, if that thing would have busted and that chain goes flying in either direction, somebody's going to get hurt. So I've been trying to upgrade my chain situation, because out of all the things you got out on a ranch, and I've got 4-in-1 screwdriver. You asked me the other day when you made that repair on my front door, you got a Phillips head screwdriver? I had a big old smile on my face because I had that 4-in-1 screwdriver out there. So I got a 4-in-1 screwdriver for everything. But our chain situation out here sucks. We need some chains. I'm going to address that with some hooks on the end of them, different lengths, some different sizes. What else we need in the barn?
More rat traps. I mean, she pretty much got, you know, weed killer, got her buckets. You know, that was another thing. We got no 5-gallon bucket with a handle on it.
We got a woodpecker over here on the south side of Teddy's place over here, chipping away at the Hardy board.
He won't be around long.
You going to sit there and podcast with me, or you going to go shoot him?
I'll wait. Hopefully he'll be there when we're done.
Hopefully he'll be here when we're done.
This has been a Podcast One production. Download new episodes of The Steve Austin Show every Tuesday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Yo, what's up, guys? This is NBA champion Bobby Portis of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Bobby Portis and the Bucks.
Inside, Portis for the slam.
Here with my brand new podcast, Keep It A Buck. Each week, me, AB, and Barrette.
It's your boy, Blessed Up AB, man.
They call me Baby Tay. They call me Red Tay. They call me Barrette.
We'll be talking to special guests from fellow athletes, celebrities, and friends from all walks of life. And you know we'll keep it a buck. So you saying you better than J. Cole?
J. Cole.
J. Cole, nice, though.
My floater is hard.
Not knocking your game.
They got to watch guys like Chris Middleton and Giannis. Like, watching these guys like 300 makes a day.
Not, and I'm not talking about just shots.
Makes.
It just ain't going to come. Just because you're dreaming about it, you got to actually make it into a reality. You got to speak it into existence. You got to make your daily deposits every day.
Lunch meat.
Download new episodes of Keep It A Buck every Thursday, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Keep It A Buck. Peace.